To you it's just a game, for me it's all I know. I make them remember my name before I have to go. Losing, I can't fathom, that's a champion's passion. Confidence never lacking, drop the beat, let's attack them. They be checking for the content, you tired of that nonsense. No gimmicks, break limits, quality is our promise. This is more than a show, this is a way of life. Cause the game as it grows, takes us to higher heights. Check the stats before you check me, and don't tell me who the greatest if you don't know the history. Robert Ramon and Carl Close, the new big three, and if the opinions ain't from them, don't bring them to me, cause I go off like a rocket launcher. Man, I just ate the beat, I'm a real monster. I can hear the crowd chanting MVP, that's my mantra. Here's a standing on for the opinionated bench warmers.
All right, welcome to the Opinionated Benchwarmers. The voice you're hearing is Carlos, not your normal host. The normal host had to step out. He'll be back with us next week, but we're going to hold it down for our brother. It's me, Carlos, again, and then it's my guy, Ramon. How you doing, Ramon?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Doing good, feeling good. It's been it's been a better day than some sequence of events that happened the other night that we're not going to really go into too much, so... I'm still rebounding from that. Always love to have the opportunity to get a chance to, you know, kick it with my bros or kick it with my bro today, since it's going to be the two of us rocking for another episode of this great podcast. I think what we're on 162 at this point.
Episode 162, man.
So I'm just excited to get it rolling, man. We got some good things that are going on sports wise and all that kind of stuff. So as I say, I try not to do too much talking on the front end, man. We can go ahead and jump straight into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Before we get started, I want to say everybody should take the time out to follow us on all social media platforms at @O_Benchwarmers. That's on Instagram. Or you can follow us on Facebook by searching the Opinionated Benchwarmers. But you can follow us on Twitter at that same handle, @O_Benchwarmers. Again, we're really taking off. And if you like the podcast, take time out to leave us a 5-star. It really helps. It really boosts us. We're really taking off. Like, we're doing big things. I'm happy. You got two of the greatest sports minds, three of the greatest sports minds, two of the greatest today. You know, it's take time out to leave your boys a review. So again, I ain't gonna hold it too long. Big news this week, we got the NFL draft. I feel like the draft takes forever to come around. And like, it's finally here. It's finally time to see what these future stars are going to do. What are your thoughts on the draft?
Man, I'm honestly pretty excited for this draft. Like, you know, I would say to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I just feel like there's some good star power in this draft. Like, I feel like, you know, when we look at the top of the draft, you know, pretty star driven at the top of the draft. You know, I think that honestly, we all kind of know where that first pick is leaning and where that's heading. And I think that after that, you know, it's even though you can have your mock drafts, you can think you're going to predict it and things of that sort. I think that there's a lot of random variables that can shift things, you know, at the top. So I'm honestly really excited for it. I think that it's, you know, definitely a draft. Like, if your team is looking for a wide receiver, excellent draft for that. Honestly, if your team is looking for a QB to come in, especially someone that can, you know, learn even under another guy that you may have that you want to have sit for a year or two, it's a great draft for that. You know, you got some big time defensive prospects as well, too. So to me, and just high level, not going in depth into anything just yet, I'm really excited about it. So, you know, that's how I'm feeling about it. But on your end, bro, how are you feeling about this draft? What are some of your initial thoughts?
Well, I'm right there with you. As you've been, you know, my brother for all these years, you know, this is my favorite time of the year. I enjoy looking up prospects. I enjoy scouting prospects. My wife tell me, why don't you just be a scout? You know,
right.
I think in another life, maybe I was, and maybe after my military life is over, maybe I do that and travel the world because I just have a passion for it. Like, I just love scouting talent. And, you know, and I'll add to your list, like, I know you mentioned this is a year to get a receiver, this is a year to get a quarterback, but this is also a year if you want an offensive tackle, The offensive tackles are deep this year. You got at least projected, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 offensive tackles that may go first round, which is unheard of. You know, you usually get your one, maybe 3 to 4. So this year, there's going to be a big run. So those that's watching the draft, that mid, maybe pick 8, between 8 and 24, you're going to see probably 7 offensive tackles go off the board and good ones. J.C. Latham, Joe Alt, Talese Fuyaga, Troy Fortuna. God, man, these guys got some names on them. Marius Mims, Tyler Guyton. All good players, all guys that, you know, if you need O-line, this is the year to get you one.
Yeah, no, like you said, man, definitely big-time prospects. It almost made me think of when you said they got some names on him. What that was, was it Webby on the Breakfast Club?
Man, some names on this.
That man couldn't pronounce Charlemagne for his life. His life.
That's literally how I felt reading these names. I was like, man, maybe I bit off more than I could chew. Start these names off.
Right. You were like, let me hold. Okay, I'm going to just name about 3 or 4 of these. Let me just cut it off right there. But man, it's like you said, man, big time draft, big time, you know, prospect heavy, you know, kind of at the top of it. And so, like, when thinking about it, and let's just kind of maybe jump a little bit into the draft and kind of dissecting it. So, you know, we talked a little bit and we said that the feeling is consensus that Caleb Williams will be number one off the board. We pretty much know that. And then at that point, the draft really opens up within that top five, or even you can say even more so within that top 10. And so let me ask you this. So when looking at that draft and looking at things after Caleb Williams, what are kind of maybe your expectations at the top of that draft as far as maybe who do you think is going to be second, third off that board? And do you foresee any kind of movement, let's just say, at the top of the draft as well, too?
So I was listening hard to the Adam Schefter podcast just on the insider, right, for ESPN. And, you know, and just kind of looking at these guys. One, and you're looking at their moves, right? You look at Washington Commanders, who hold that number two pick. They've gotten rid of Sam Howell, right? And they pretty much cleared that slate for them to draft a quarterback. I can't see them trading out of that position because, again, you're not guaranteed a quarterback. You trade out of that too. Why not? I think the quarterback is one of those positions you don't play around with. You don't say, hey, let me trade back and see if I can get another guy and all that. If you have your sights set on a guy, you take that guy. And so at that two position, I think they go with Jaden Daniels, right? Yeah. I think he matches what they need there. When I think about the offensive coordinator, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he used to be the head coach of the Cardinals.
You talking about, is it Cliff Kingsbury?
Cliff,
is he over there?
Yeah. Cliff, yes, Cliff, yes. Kingsbury. He is now their offensive coordinator over there, and he matches kind of what he's had with a mobile quarterback in his career. So, you know, I know there was the debate over Drake May or Jaden Daniels at that position, and we'll see draft night. But if I'm looking at it, I think you take Jaden Daniels at that position, and you're set at quarterback. They already have the weapons over there, and Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin, you know, and who knows what else they can add during this draft. So I think you take that pick, and I think it's a good pick. And then you look at three at the top of the draft, and then – I think if anybody's going to trade it, maybe the Patriots, because they aren't a quarterback away, right? They need weapons over there. They need picks. They need to start building that team back up. And I feel sorry for the quarterback that's going to go in that situation, because it's going to take a year or two, you know, to really get that thing going. We've seen kind of what happened with McCorkle over there, McCorkle Jones, aka Mac Jones, you know, when he didn't have the lack of weapons. We've seen even the years with Tom Brady before him had lack of weapons over there, you know. So maybe if I'm the Patriots, honestly, if I'm the Patriots, I know it's going to go quarterbacks because they're more valuable. But if I'm the Patriots at that three spot, I'm maybe thinking about a Marvin Harrison Jr. You know what I mean? But just because you get a special talent over there, I know quarterbacks are hard to find and all these, this, that, and the other, but maybe I trade back and take a receiver and then just kind of build that offense and then wait on that quarterback a year. Kind of like what the Jets did a little bit. They got the weapons and then they came in and got a veteran quarterback later. Yeah. But I think at that spot, the Patriots can't pass on Drake May. They take Drake May at three. And then it get interesting, right? At four with the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals could trade back, right? They have their quarterback already. Do somebody value JJ McCarthy enough? Do we go four straight quarterbacks in this draft? You know, or do they sit pretty there and take Marvin Harrison Jr. at that spot? You know, and then after them, you have the Chargers at five, which the Chargers, again, they have their quarterback again. So I look at that four and that five spot, or two spots that teams are going to probably trade up if they want to go and get a guy. And when I say trade up, I'm looking at the Raiders, I'm looking at the Vikings, I'm looking at all the Broncos, those three teams that possibly moving up to secure their quarterback for the future.
And you kind of hit the nail on the head with those teams, because I definitely was going to be circling the Vikings as a team that I think is going to make a move to try to jump up there and go get their QB of the present and really the future. And honestly, I think that it may end up working out for one of those guys that doesn't get taken top two. I think that one of those guys may end up sliding into a really ideal kind of scenario situation. Can you imagine you being that rookie QB and Minnesota being your landing spot? And you got Jetta's over there, and you got your boy Jordan Addison that's over there, and you still got Hockenson once he comes back from his injury, among the other weapons that they've had over there as well too. So that'll be an ideal situation. And I think it's going to be, as you were mentioning, kind of going through the picks and going through the guys. I think that one of the most interesting things has been kind of this Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers debate that has really kind of risen and become more real over time. Let's just say before the college football season, everybody would have told you Marvin Harrison Jr. consensus number one wide receiver. Throughout the first couple games of the season, everybody would have told you Marvin Harrison Jr. consensus number one wide receiver. But as that season began to go on, and then as we began to also see what Malik Nabers was able to do in his pro day, and pretty much look like a Ja'Marr Chase kind of clone from a pro day standpoint, it gets you kind of your mind kind of running a little bit. And so I'm gonna be interested to see too, kind of how that hype plays out of that debate between those two. But then also too, let me so maybe you want to speak to that a little bit, but also too, I do want to kind of ask you, who do you think there's a definitive or definite number three wide receiver that's coming off the board after those two guys?
I think Rome Odunze, obviously, I think he will be the third receiver, right, coming off the board. And then after that, it gets interesting. Obviously, I got Brian Thomas Jr. has picked up some steam as we gotten closer to the draft. And I think he should be a top 15 pick. I don't know if he goes top 15 pick, but I think when you look at those three guys, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze, you have three alpha receivers. You have three receivers that are number one guys, no questions asked, day one starters. So when I think about those guys, they're going to but all three going to be top 10 picks. I think the Malik Nabers thing, Marvin Harrison Jr., one of the interesting things is if he didn't carry his name like he did, would he be as high as rated? I mean, that's no disrespect because he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. But when I just look at just pure numbers, right? I look at what Malik Nabers has did and I look at his explosion playing inside and outside. I think that Malik Nabers, that conversation should be closer than what it is. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has just been the consensus number one guy since the season started, right? Malik Nabers kind of came out of nowhere and he's put himself in that conversation. That's credit to Malik Nabers. But I think, you know, when you look at numbers, you look at the testing, you look at the visits, you look at everything, you had to have that legit conversation that Malik Nabers in 5 years from now could be a better player than Marvin Harrison Jr.
No, I think that it is definitely very interesting, very much up for debate. Like they talk about, a lot of people are saying at this point they think that Malik Nabers is the most explosive player in this draft. And so, I try not to let my LSU bias come in as it relates to Malik Nabers, but then I also kind of have a little bit of my Colts bias as it relates to Marvin Harrison Jr., because obviously, been a long time Marvin Harrison Senior fan. So it's going to be very interesting. I think you can't go wrong with either of those. But it kind of gets to your point. It was kind of making me think a little bit when you were talking about kind of how Malik, rose over the course of the season and has risen now. And it made me think about as well, too. You talk about, potentially Brian Thomas Jr., what things have done for him. If you were to say, let's just say, a riser or two, somebody that you feel, whether it was throughout the course of the season, whether it was throughout the course of combine type stuff, pro days, Who do you think really was able to kind of up their stock and is somebody to watch out for in this draft?
I mean, I'll stick it, keep it with the receivers, and I'll go with Xavier Worthy. I just think Xavier Worthy, when you go to the combine and break a record, and you show and then that tape is matching, my thing with Xavier Worthy, people are just going to dub him as just a speed guy when you break the record, right? Just run up the field, right? But he has some wiggle to him. He has some route tree to him that at that speed, when you can control that speed, pick it up and go, kind of Tariq-esque, right? And you're not just a fast guy, that makes you different. So I think his stock has definitely taken off in this draft process. And I don't know if it gave him enough steam to be a first round pick, maybe a back
What I was going to
end
ask
first
you.
round pick, because I look at when I think of Xavier Worthy from Texas, right? The guy ran a 4.21. I think the Chiefs, right? This Chiefs team, you look at the Chiefs. They are a team that obviously are gonna have Rashee Rice be suspended some games this year. That came out. He's gonna be suspended anywhere from two games to a whole season, depending on the legal battle, right? So I look at them. I know they just pulled off and they got Marquise Brown and pulled him over to the Chiefs, but I look at them as a guy that missed that Tariq type speed on the team that maybe at that back end around that they end up snagging that guy. And giving Mahomes that speed to open the field up so Travis Kelce can do his thing midfield, so it's not so clogged down. So again, Xavier Worthy would be my guy that I would say picked up some steam, and I would love to see him on the Chiefs.
And I think, to go along with that and add to that, as you were mentioning, kind of the Chiefs fit and everything, I think the Chiefs also have to acknowledge too that honestly, Travis Kelce is slowing down a little bit. So you do kind of need that additional help to be able to kind of take some of that pressure off of him and just going and getting Hollywood. And this is not to minimize him at all, but going and getting one additional weapon, that's not going to be enough. Especially in this league, in this, present era and time. So I think that honestly, that would be a good call out. Definitely somebody that's a riser and will be an interesting prospect. I'm just gonna be interested to kind of see all of these things. I guess if I were to give a guy, and maybe for me, this kind of fits in as a riser slash kind of tweener situation. And once again, maybe as the listeners here, this is also bringing a little bit more of my LSU bias into this. But I think the name that's been recently kind of floating has been defensive tackle out of LSU, Mason Smith. Been hearing more and more reports that teams are really kind of intrigued with the possibilities of what he can be. And so just kind of setting up the Mason Smith scenario, Mason Smith out of high school was a five-star recruit. It's very interesting because, I'm the one that's the jump from the high school to college. Like that's my thing. And then your thing is from college to the NFL. So we kind of had those two different lanes. And so, Mason Smith, obviously five-star recruit, freshman year in college, showed promise as a freshman. Then sophomore year, supposed to blow up, be one of the top defensive tackles in the nation. First game of the season, tears his ACL. So he's out. Then he comes back his junior year, doesn't show that same promise that everybody thought that, he was going to be expected to show. But one thing I will say, a few things about Mason Smith is that throughout his tenure at LSU, he had three different defensive line coaches. So he never had any continuity at LSU from a developmental standpoint. And then you look at a guy that was really, this is his first year removed from that injury. They tell you time in and time again, that time out and time again, that basically that second year is when you really start to more so become yourself. And so I think that, they look at the kind of intangibles and the different things that he possesses. They think about kind of the size and speed combination that can make him really an interior pass rusher if he is really able to reach his potential. Sometimes I will say his pad level gets a little bit too high, so he's gonna have to kind of work on that, on being a low man. But I think that he's one of those guys that's a tweener because it seemed like his stock would be down, but recently they've been kind of reporting him a little bit differently. So he's a guy that I would say is kind of a riser, but more of a tweener between that riser faller sense. Do you have any?
No, I think first of all, I touch on Mason Smith for sure. We had so much hope for him starting this process, right? We thought this guy was going to really tear it up in college, right? And he was kind of in between, right? These are the guys that really kind of step up and show their talent in the NFL, get into the right training program, get some continuity in their life, and then snap. And then you're like, man, what was this in college? Right? Now, I mean, now they got professionals and people that are actually investing in them. You see them really take off. So again, that's a really good one. But my guy would be a faller would be Tavondre Sweat, you know, and, and it's been well documented. He's been a guy that, you know, had a DUI. How you get a DUI during this process, right? Like, you have a DUI, that's something to worry about, right? You are a guy that, you know, right now you're being recruited. You know you're being watched, and you go out, party, and you get a DUI. You know, it's like, he was a projected second-round pick. Right now, who knows if he goes day two? You know, he might be a day three, fourth-round pick because of that. You know, these teams are investing in you. That scares them away to the point where they're probably thinking, nah, I'm not putting my money into this guy. And, you know, he can't even keep it together during the draft process. It's the most important point of his life. So he's definitely lost himself some money. I'll be surprised if he still goes in the second round like he was projected to do. He was probably the second best defensive tackle in this draft. You know, obviously behind Byron Murphy out of Texas, his counterpart. And then you really got some good defensive tackles in this draft as well. So, and you think about Byron Murphy, I'll touch on him quickly. He's a guy where they talk about how the position of defensive tackle is going up, right? How they're getting paid these top dollar now. And so now they want to draft these guys a little bit higher. They're getting pushed up boards, kind of like quarterback, because they're cost control, right? They're not as high as paying one of the top defensive tackles, you know, Aaron Donald, now retired. You know, obviously you talk about the guy from the Chiefs. I can't think of him right now.
You talking about Chris Jones?
Chris Jones, yes, sir. Yep. Chris Jones, right, just got top dollar. So now they're trying to draft these guys higher that are disruptive in the middle to have a little cost control for 4 or 5 years. So, again, that'll be my follow into Tavondre Sweat. Byron Murphy, I can see him being a top 12 pick. It wouldn't surprise anybody. And so, again, it's a lot of good guys that could be had in that second round, though. A lot of good guys.
No, I mean, since you're there, I mean, we might as well honestly stay there. I know that you kind of really get in your bag when we step out of that first round, because that's when you can really get into your scout bag.
Yeah.
I may be, when we talk about NFL draft, I'm going to be real about it. I'm not as big of a deep of a scout on the NFL draft. I probably got some guys that maybe I'm kind of eyeing, but, you know, I'll be seeing your Twitter. I'll be seeing what you be putting out there, especially, obviously, you got your Rams fan base that be paying attention to what you have from a mock standpoint. So we're saying that, and we're going to go to our resident scout on the podcast. And you were mentioning day two and three, you know, as you're getting into that second, third round, that fourth round. Who are maybe some guys that you are kind of eyeing, or, you know, some guys that you really think are intriguing prospects in that range?
So my first prospect that I'm looking at in that day two, he may even slip in the first round, but I don't have him in there. But Xavier Leggett, right? Xavier Leggett, wide receiver out of South Carolina. He has played well. He's one of those guys. He's a four-year guy. He played in college. He didn't really take off until his last year. And so a lot of times teams are questionable about that. It's a little, some questions about, okay, can he maintain this? Was this a one-year wonder type of thing? But he played really well with Spencer Rattler last year. He showed his ability. Right now, he even came out, you know, if you look at the reports, he came out and said, hey, Carolina Panthers have came out and said, hey, I hope that you come, you're there in the second round, because, as you know, the Carolina Panthers have the first pick in the first round. They obviously traded their first pick last year to the Bears for the first overall pick, but they do have their 33rd overall pick, and they're hoping that Xavier Leggett is there, because they need to get Bryce Young some weapons, you know, and why not get you one of those Carolina guys to come right there, stay at home, and play for them. So he's one of those, one of my fave day two picks, and he's definitely going to go day two. He's explosive. He's a massive receiver. They've been comparing him to the receiver for Seattle, brother.
Are you talking about DK Metcalf?
I'm drawing blanks today. They're comparing him to DK Metcalf, you know, as far as a size speed combo guy. I don't know if he's quite that, As far as big, but he is an interesting prospect. I think he has a lot of potential to blow up in the league. I just think he needs the right opportunity to go to, and I would love to see him go to the Carolina Panthers as they're missing that alpha wide receiver.
That would be interesting. That would be very interesting. It's crazy because the first guy that came to my mind also was in kind of that receiver land, and it's a guy that to me, he's a guy that's maybe fallen a little bit within the process, and probably maybe early off in college football season would have been viewed as a wide receiver one. I really think you get this guy now if you do have a true alpha already, and he can come in and be your wide receiver too. But that's Keon Coleman for me. And I still think I know that Keon Coleman, he doesn't have that prototypical speed that we were looking for. He didn't burn it up, but he still is a guy that, you know, big bodied receiver, a guy that still can be a red zone target for you. I think that he slots in, like I said, perfectly when you're able to pair him with a true alpha. If he is being able to line up against your second best corner or your third best corner, anything of that sort. You put him in a situation where he can play a T. Higgins type of role to a guy that's an alpha like a Ja'Marr Chase. You know, I think that he's a guy that you can look at as a solid grab that now is flowing within that day two, three, day three kind of range. Who really probably early off, many people would have thought would have been a day one guy potentially, but he slid there, and I think he still is a valuable grab.
No, that's good. Keon Coleman, man, I think he put up numbers. I think ever since that first game against LSU, we saw his potential, you know, and it's just he's a guy that because he doesn't have that speed, people fall in love with speed, that prototypical speed. You know, he's not the face prospect, right? But he'll be somebody's a great pick in the second, third round, right? A great pick where he's just like, I got a solid player that I know got reliable hands that can go up and get the ball, and he's that guy. So no, I love that. But on that note, though, another guy, right? The run on running backs. This year, running back is probably at its lowest, right? The running back position is just a position that, you know, you're not going to get a first rounder this year. You might not even get a second rounder this year. But at the start of that third round, you're probably going to start getting a run on running back. I'm really interested to see where Trey Benson goes, you know, out of Florida State. Florida State, he has that Tony Pollard burst, you know. So I wouldn't be surprised if a team like the Cowboys, who needs a running back, kind of look right there in that position and grab a Trey Benson or grab. So I'm really watching the Cowboys and see what they do. Are they okay with going into the season with Royce Freeman and possibly picking up Ezekiel Elliott later on closer to camp? Or do they grab a running back this year because they need one? You know, they need one. And I think this is the year they can sit back and wait because you're not going to get one going first round like you've seen the last previous years. You might not even get one second round, as I mentioned. So again, I'm really watching what the Cowboys do. Trey Benson. There's just a lot of guys out there that's going to go from that third to fourth, I would say to fifth round that can land in a good spot. Like obviously, I think everybody's number one running back this year is Jonathan Brooks. He was a guy that tore his ACL back in November this year. So when you look at his situation, if he what didn't tear his ACL, he might have been that second round pick. Who knows? He might still go second round pick. The team willing to wait a little bit because he may not go into this year fully healthy. But Jonathan Brooks, he sat behind some of the best running backs at Texas. And now got his turn and got hurt. So I'm really interested to see how far he drops. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. So there's a lot of guys that, you know, not a lot of big names, probably won't go high, but, you know, can play a good role and have a long career in the NFL.
I was going to ask you as well when you were talking about running backs, because a guy that's kind of been on my mind a little bit, and I was going to ask you maybe your potential evaluation of him, is Blake Corum from Michigan. You know, I think about a guy that really before he went down, I want to say that was his junior year that he went down at the end of the season, he was a Heisman candidate. He was really leading and pacing that backfield. And then you were able to see him more so kind of share the load his senior year. That ended up, of course, leading them to a national championship. What are kind of maybe your thoughts a little bit on Blake Corum, you know, and kind of maybe round wise or anything like that? Just kind of your general thoughts on Blake Corum, because he's somebody I'm kind of interested in.
Right. I mean, he's just one of those guys because if he was 5'10", 220, he would probably be one of the first running backs taken off the board because he is a smaller guy that is knocked against him. But again, we've seen running backs come out that be smaller that do just fine. But I think he goes in the third, fourth round. I wouldn't be surprised if a team like the Chargers, his old coach, right? I believe Jim Harbaugh goes and get him and put him back on his team, right? He's a winner, proven winner, compact runner. Like I said, very average size. So when you look at that, at the running back position, you got to go to the right team. But I think he produced, right? He continued to produce. He put up numbers there. He's a north and south runner. He's not gonna dance around. I like the guy. I think he's a good prospect. I think if he gets to the right team, I think he could be a good running back. He could be a fantasy asset.
And to your point as well too, you did see his final season. That they went with that running back by committee approach, which is not anything that's innovative. Like we know that that's where everything is at this point and what a league is. But you look at, a guy like J.K. Dobbins that they pick up going over there. And I want to say there's another name that's just escaping me. Is Gus over there now? Is another
Gus
Baltimore name that went.
Edwards.
That's what I thought. So it could be a way that they can, kind of run that committee. And also too, the lifespan of running backs is pretty short. So that would be pretty interesting, but it was just something that I was thinking of. Any kind of thing, anything else you wanted to hit from the kind of NFL draft? Anything else you wanted to
No,
mention?
I mean, again, I mean, I would just one question I will ask before we move on is, we talked about the quarterbacks a little bit. What will you say is an ideal spot for maybe the top five guys? So when I say top five guys, well, let's just remove Caleb out of there. Okay, let's go Jaden Daniels. Let's go with Drake May. Let's go with J.J. McCarthy. Let's go with Michael Penix. Maybe Bo Nix. Bo Nix as well.
Oh man, it's very interesting because part of this goes to what we were talking about earlier, and the ones that you talked about that may trade up. Obviously, if we talk about ideal scenarios for any of them, it's Minnesota trading up and going and grabbing them and slotting them in there. And I think that any of those guys behind Caleb would take that. Now, if you talk about like the natural spots that they are now, I think that, as you already alluded to, I think that Washington is the natural fit for Jaden Daniels. I think that, as you mentioned, having Cliff Kingsbury there, that style of offense, that style of play, the weapons that are already there to surround him, and what he can bring just from a dual threat standpoint, I think that, if I were to land have a spot particularly for him, that would be Washington. Then, kind of, you go beyond there. I know that ideally, the Patriots are probably looking for their guy. I don't think that that's an ideal landing spot for any of those QBs that you talked about. I think that if you were a QB, while you'll be happy that you got drafted, you do not want to land in New England. Like, that is not where you're looking to land. That's not looking where you're looking to slot. So if I just kind of go off, kind of top of my head as it relates to that, you probably look at more of maybe your Drake May or something landing there, honestly, but that's not an ideal slot or spot to me for really kind of anyone. Going beyond that, I know you probably gonna maybe bring this up because obviously you make any podcast around podcast. But I think that you look at one of those guys, obviously, I don't think that y'all are gonna trade up to go get a guy or anything like that. Or
I
maybe
mean, I wouldn't put it past Les Snead and Sean McVay. Honestly, it's when I look at that situation, one guy that's one of my favorite prospects in there is Michael Penix. I think he's the perfect prospect to fit into a Sean McVay offense. I want to see where he goes, right? And then if I stand along the lines of fade prospects, Terrion Arnold, I think he is a Pro Bowler, man. I don't know why. Watching his tape, I just think the dude, he tackles, he covers well, he does everything you ask him to do.
He's legit.
I think he is a ready-made Pro Bowler already. So again, when I just talk about fade prospects, Michael Penix, I would hope he'll be a Ram one day. I would love to see him be a Ram one day. And then I think about Terrion Arnold. But J.J. McCarthy, I can see him honestly like the giant shock in the world and like taking him because I don't know,
Yeah,
they
we
just
shocked
one
the
of those
world,
teams
yeah.
that's just all over the place. Or maybe the Vikings, dude just sit still and just take him then. So those would be my ideas on him. Bo Nix, I can see him, every year I feel like there's a quarterback that they talk about going go first round, then don't. Like Will Levis last year, he kind of slipped back a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised as Will Levis. Kind of, I mean, I'm sorry, not Will Levis. Bo Nix falls out of the first round, you know, whoever trades up to get him later. So, but those are my thoughts on the quarterback positions.
No, I agree. I'm kind of aligned with that and just kind of looking through things. Honestly, you know, you're seeing kind of fewer and fewer to me openings there from a QB standpoint, like just running through things. Like we already know Chicago is figured out. You know, we already talked about Jaden potentially the Commanders. We know the Patriots need someone. Cardinals, they know they got their guy. The Chargers got their guy. The Giants could be up in the air. Titans feel like they kind of got their guy. Atlanta is invested in what they have going on. The Jets are interesting because you know that you don't know how long that Rodgers window is gonna last. He is coming off the Achilles. You do envision him, of course, being back to be that starter, but are you preparing for the future a little bit as well too? Because they got a good young roster, honestly, too, around. So maybe they're an intriguing name for a guy that kind of slips a little bit.
They'll be a surprise name for sure. I mean, I know they just traded Zach Wilson and got rid of him and went to the Broncos. So they are probably looking for that future. But as we see Aaron Rodgers go down with that injury, who knows what's next? I know they got Tyrod Taylor over there. Tyrod Taylor came up the backup, so they got a more efficient, better backup there. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like the Rams are just in that position with an older quarterback where they might be looking towards the future. Who knows? They may not be drafting that high again, you know. So again, but moving on, brother. As we move into dynasty talk, dynasty football talk, and this draft, you know, kind of knocks out and people drafts are coming up, their rookie drafts. If you're looking at these top five picks, right? You're looking at these top five picks. Who are some guys, right? How would you order this top five pick? Let's say you held the number three pick, right? Who you hoping fall to you? How do you think things are going to play out? And who are you hoping falls to you?
Gotcha. So for me, if I'm sitting there at three, it comes down to, man, you sitting there at three, there's really three guys that are floating there that you're really looking for because we know who the top two guys are going to be. And so it's kind of looking at kind of roster construction wise and landing spots. But if you ask me to say today, I will go Rome Odunze. I do think that Rome is a wide receiver one. You know, he has two other guys to me that are on his heels. Oh,
Do
you can
you
go ahead.
consider Brock Bowers at
Yeah,
three?
I consider Brock because when you look at that tight end position, it's definitely one of those that Brock to me is going to be a real deal tight end. Will turn into to me a top five tight end in this league. You saw what Sam Laporta was able to come in and do, you know, kind of instantly. And so Brock is definitely one of those guys that I would consider up there. And then, you know, you rounded out to me with Brian Thomas Jr. So when you at that three slot, I'm gonna ask you, if you at
So,
that three slot and you choosing between Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, and Brian Thomas Jr., who you taking?
I think you gotta go, like you said, Odunze there. I'm hoping somebody slip up and goes, you know, somebody switch it up, maybe go Odunze too, and I'm hoping I get Malik Nabers at three. You
It's
know,
a
but
prayer.
that's probably not gonna happen in our home league where we got a bunch of Louisiana guys. You know what I mean? So. That's what I'm hoping for. But at five, I think is an interesting spot, right? You're looking at five, it's like, okay, do I take Brian Thomas? Does it matter landing position, right? You know, all those type of things matter. And that's what I think about in that top five when you're looking at a dynasty league, because you can't go wrong. When I think of top five, I think of Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. Then I look at Brock Bowers. Then I look at Brian Thomas. I look at Xavier Worthy. You got all these guys you're kind of looking at in that spot. So that five position really is where it get interesting. But that's all I had, bro. I just kind of wanted to see where you at. I think this is a great episode, episode 162. I'm not gonna hold the listeners too much longer, man. Y'all rock with us this long to listen to our podcast. I want you guys to check us out. This episode will be dropping, I believe, before the draft. So tune in. Again, follow us on all social media platforms at O underscore Benchwarmers. Until next time.
Later.